Hi everyone, I'm Andy.
And I'm Allie.
And welcome back to another episode of Marianne and Wanda, your favorite book club and media podcast. We are well into December at this point.
Yes, and we both snuggled up with hot chocolate this evening.
Yeah, it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Yeah. It's pretty chilly on the island, so.
It's like 40s. I think the high today was like 44. So, not like awful. It's tolerable until you get in the wind. But
sure.
We decorated for Christmas, so we have all of our lights up. We have the tree up, all the decorations. And, yeah. So, it just feels very Christmassy with hot chocolate.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you saw some stuff online, but we had a really bad tornado come through Middle Tennessee over the weekend, and just wanted to acknowledge all of the terrible destruction that came through, and that we are thinking about everyone who is involved with that. And I don't know, I guess, did you know of anybody who suffered any damage?
I think Alexis's brother, I'm not sure which one, like, his house got hit, but I think no one that, like, I most keep up with, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a couple people, but most of them were, like, not, yeah, like you said, like, not people that I keep up with or know very well.
Mm-hmm.
But Hendersonville got hit pretty hard. And then some of my coworkers that live up in Clarksville, one of them that I work closely with, she said she was about a mile from the destruction up there.
Goodness.
Yeah, and then I saw a lot of people reminiscing on the tornado that we went through at Sumner, which I thought that was 2005, but everybody that I saw reposting stuff about it said it was 2006, so maybe we were in sixth grade? Or fifth grade? I guess it would have been spring, so we would have been in...
Yeah, it was spring of fifth grade.
Okay.
So, yeah, 2006.
Yeah, but I didn't even know it was going on until my grandma texted me. She was like, is the tornado at your house? I'm like, what tornado? I'm like, it's not even raining here. Like, the wind is, like, non-existent, and there's no rain. We did get a little bit of rain, but not enough to fill the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got about 10 to 12 inches in the tanks. But
oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, it was probably about 1,000 gallons total, but our tanks hold 9,000, so in comparison, it's not... Not great, but better than it was.
It's more than 10%. That's 11%. That's good now. Hey, man, don't knock it.
Yeah, it's nice. But it definitely was supposed to rain, like, from the time I woke up until after I would have gone to bed. And it only rained at, like, 7:30 for maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah, my mom said that everything was, I think she said south of her was the closest bit that was bad. But she was obviously fine.
Yeah, I know. I don't know that JP2 had any damage, but I saw or I heard on the radio that there was like some roads closed due to debris and stuff like that around, what's that road? Not Conference Drive, but what's the road we used to get off on 386?
No idea, dude. I don't remember the name of any roads.
I know it was Exit 2, but I can't remember what the name of that road was.
No idea.
But I think it was that one. Anyway, doesn't matter. So yeah, just wanted to acknowledge it. We hope that everybody is able to, I don't know, find the support that they need, especially around Christmas season.
Yeah, it's a rough time. I guess I don't associate tornadoes with the winter as much. So.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know what the temporal pattern of tornadoes is.
But. Yeah, I don't either. But that's about all that's happened, I guess, since the last episode we recorded that's noteworthy.
Well, I've just been, collecting a lot of data, and that's about it.
So. Yeah. Just chugging along, trying to get to Christmas.
Yeah.
We can have some time off.
Yeah, take some time off, relax at home for a little bit.
Yeah. So I saw Annalie and Deb the other day on accident.
Yeah.
I was
on accident.
Yeah, so Adam and I went out to eat at the brewery that's on the square in Lebanon.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Yeah, on Friday night. And I forgot to close my tab. And we just, like, walked out and left. So I had to go back on Saturday and get my card and I guess they had already closed it out for me. But I had to go get my card. And when I walked out, there was Deb and Annalie right there.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. So we watched a Christmas movie for this week.
Yes, a classic Christmas / I guess New Year's Eve movie.
Yeah, I always associate it more with Christmas, though, instead of New Year's Eve.
Well, it ends on New Year's Eve, so it's not. Yeah. You know. We are, of course, talking about the 2006 rom-com The Holiday.
I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah, I didn't either. 17 years seems like a really long time, but I can't tell you when I first watched this movie, so.
I can't either. It wouldn't have been in 2006 when it came out. I probably watched it more in, like, mid to late high school, and that's probably when that's what in my head felt like the time it came out.
Yeah, so it aged it like a solid 4 to 5 years.
That yeah, makes sense. Yeah. You want to give a quick rundown of the movie for anybody who lives under a rock and hasn't seen it?
Yeah. Well, maybe, or has seen it and just needs a little refresher because they didn't watch it. Yeah. Well, this is, of course, the classic Christmas rom-com about two jilted women. We have Iris, who's a gossip columnist and cannot get over her ex-boyfriend, who just really doesn't let her leave anyway. And Amanda, who's just found out that her long-term boyfriend cheated on her. They connect on a very real website called homeexchange.com and agree to swap houses, their LA mansion for an English cottage, for 2 weeks over the Christmas holiday. While attempting to run away from love, they both find meaningful connections in their holiday homes, hopefully for the best. Who's to say?
I didn't realize that homeexchange.com was a real website.
I did not either, but I was listening to a podcast today about this movie, and then I looked it up, and it happens to exist. There's a new home listed this year as a promo that's a remake of the holiday home, I think the cottage.
Oh, really?
So you can go stay in it if you're a super fan.
I wish that home exchange programs were a more common thing. Like, I get Airbnbs, but most of the time when you stay in an Airbnb, you're not switching houses with the person who's the owner of the Airbnb. And most of the time they're still there on the property. But yeah, like, totally switching lives for a week with somebody, that would be cool.
Yeah, I'm not into it. I got too many knickknacks. I don't want people touching my stuff.
I have no knickknacks, so somebody can come to my house.
Yeah, I know. You got nothing that they can ruin, but I'm, like, sitting here looking at my glasses collection, and I'm like, I can't trust some stranger in here with this.
I have nothing worth stealing, so.
Ridiculous.
My house, yeah.
Yes. So this movie debuted actually at number 3 the weekend it opened, which was December 8th, 2006. And it had a budget of $85 million, and the box office was $205 million, almost $206 million. So they made a pretty penny on this bad boy.
Mm-hmm. And really, they didn't have that. I mean, I know there's more that goes into making a movie besides just the cast. You got all the crew, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't that many characters in the story.
No, but it should be noted that the sets, they had to, like, make the sets. Neither of the homes existed.
Oh.
I think the exterior actually of the LA home exists, but the cottage didn't. They built that all, and then the inside was a set, and so was the inside of the LA home as well.
Hmm.
So I assume a good chunk of that budget probably went to that.
Yeah.
And it was written, directed, and produced by Nancy Myers. Do you recognize the name?
No.
Okay. Well, she, I think, wrote and directed The Parent Trap, as well as, like, Something's Gotta Give, It's Complicated, The Intern, like a whole bunch of rom-coms.
The Lindsay Lohan version of Parent Trap?
Yes, and incidentally, did you notice who made a cameo in this movie?
Yes, I did, and I totally forgot about that until I watched it this time.
Yeah, me too, and it turns out that Nancy Meyer called up Lindsay Lohan and was like, look, you owe me everything in your career, you need to come make a cameo in this movie. I guess that's one way to get someone to be in a movie.
Yeah.
the score was by Hans Zimmer, who's, of course, a well-known name. Yeah. He did The Lion King, The Dark Knight, Dune, and then, like, a million other things, like Interstellar and Pirates of the Caribbean. Pardon? Spirit? Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we seem to, there's a lot of overlap in all the movies we like. Not that shocking.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, like I said, there's not a whole lot of characters in the story, but for starters, we had Kate Winslet, mm-hmm. Who plays Iris Simpkins. Mm-hmm. And I see your note that says if you're writing a 30-year-old, wait, hold on, what does it say?
So this is a quote from Nancy Myers, and she said, if you're writing a 30-year-old woman in England, you obviously think of Kate Winslet. She's just one of the great actresses.
Oh.
So, like, if you're writing any 30-year-old woman from England in a story, your thought is, okay, well, let's just put Kate Winslet in there.
Yeah, I don't... nobody else comes to mind, so, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then Cameron Diaz plays Amanda Woods, which I thought it was funny that Graham was like, Amanda Woods, is that all one word?
Yeah.
She plays the classic California girl.
Yeah. What did you think of her performance in this movie?
I thought it was good.
Really? I was watching it, and I don't know. I'm not so sure. Not that I love Cameron Diaz. She does a lot of really good movies, but I think in this one, she wasn't the best. Like, her face when Graham was, like, telling her that he loves her, she, like, didn't, her reaction wasn't really, she just, like, had such a blank face. I don't know. I wasn't impressed overall by her acting skills in general in this.
I guess I thought that was more of the character. Like, Amanda's character, she's not, like, she's never been in love. She's never shed a tear and whatever. I just kind of thought that her reaction was fitting for that character.
She felt very dead a little bit to me.
Yeah. So I will say her esophageal spasms were hilarious. Yeah. Although... She'll never beat her performance in Shrek, so.
Of course. We gotta, is that one on the list? We should put that on the list.
I've been meaning to add it, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
I love Shrek. Such a good film.
Yeah. So then we have Jude Law, who plays Graham Simpkins. And so Graham and Iris are siblings.
Yes, and he stumbles in, like, home to Iris's house while Amanda's staying there, and she just, like, lets him in.
Yeah.
I thought was very wild of her, considering he was, like, banging on her door in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I thought their whole meeting interaction was very strange, but we'll get to that. I have a couple more notes on that later.
Okay. I will also say he said that he was worried about playing a comedic role because he'd mostly been in period pieces before this movie. Same thing with Kate Winslet. She'd mostly played in, like, period pieces of, like, you know, the classics. And so they both were, like, trying to act, and they at one point looked at each other and said, we're both going to get fired from this film. Which I think is pretty funny. And Robert Downey Jr. also auditioned for it. And I don't think he would have played it as well as Jude Law does, but I also really love Jude Law.
Yeah, I can't imagine Robert Downey Junie. Robert Downey Jr. in this role, so I'm glad that didn't happen. No shade. Yeah, and then Jack Black as Miles Dumont.
Yes, and I love Jack Black, and I love him in this movie a whole lot.
I like Jack Black. I don't know that I really like him in a romantic character. I don't know. I just didn't feel like it was quite the right fit. If I had to recast anybody of the four main characters, it would have been him.
Okay, so, but who would you recast in the role?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't think about it that far. But, like, me, Jack Black is just so goofy that, like, his serious moments where he's trying to be romantic with Iris just seemed unnatural and kind of weird to me.
Oh. I like him in it. So I guess, yeah, we disagree on this one too. I think that part of his, like, the success of the character is how goofy Jack Black is in real life. Yeah. And so he lends up a lot to the character. And, like, the scene in the Blockbuster where they're talking about all the scores, he improvised a lot of, I think all the lines actually in that scene. And I think that was a really good scene. I thought it was funny. I think he's funny. So I liked it. And Myers, actually, she wanted to write a romantic lead role for him after seeing him in School of Rock, which is a very funny leap from that role to...
Like, there was nothing romantic about his performance in School of Rock at all.
No, but he did really knock that one out of the park as well.
Yeah, but, like, that's the kind of roles that I imagine he likes to play the best, because he can be silly. At least those are the ones that it seems like he really excels in the performance. So, I don't know. I just thought this one, like, in the moments when he's being funny, it seemed natural. But then, yeah, like, sometimes the romantic scenes seemed a little forced.
Jimmy Fallon also auditioned for it. So, would you have preferred him in this, do you think?
No, I don't see him as a romantic either.
Yeah, I find it hard to see him, especially in this role, but also, yeah, I think as any sort of romantic lead.
Yeah.
Particularly opposite Kate Winslet.
Yeah. Like, the person I think of for most, like, romantic leads would be, like, Matthew McConaughey or Ryan Gosling, people like that. But I don't think they would have gotten the humor side of the character.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they would have gotten that part right either. And the character was kind of half and half. I don't know. I don't think I would have picked Jack Black, but I don't know who a replacement would have been.
There is Adam, I guess.
Yeah. And then we have Eli. Oh, how do you say that last name?
Wallach?
Wallach?
Wallish? Wallach?
I don't know. Eli Wallach as Arthur Abbott.
Yes.
He was so cute.
He is. I also, there was a brief amount of time where I thought that maybe he was playing himself, that like he was just some sort of old Hollywood guy that I didn't know because I hadn't seen a lot of the Golden Age movies.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. Happy to report that. But also, Maya said that he was like so spry and active and not acting like an 80 something year old man on set that she had to tell him to calm it down and act more feeble.
Act old.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be over 80. And I think he was like 90 when this movie was filmed. So
wow.
May he rest in peace. He has passed on. So I think I love his character. I think of all the characters, I think he's my favorite.
Yeah, me too.
Like such a like cute, nice old guy who wasn't expecting his impact on Hollywood, and like so nice, so welcoming.
And so then some secondary characters, or supporting characters, rather. We had Rufus Sewell.
Yeah.
Okay. As Jasper. I see your note that you were not a fan. Neither was I.
Gross.
I saw on, you know how when you're watching a movie on Amazon Prime, it gives you little, like, trivia facts?
Yes.
Said that Rufus Sewell and Kate Winslet were actually in a relationship at one point.
Yes, I saw that too. I guess I can kind of see them together. They make a cute couple.
And so then we had Edward Burns as Ethan and John Krasinski as Ben. Okay, I think it would have been a better fit for the story if John Krasinski's character had been the one to fall in love with Iris instead of Jack Black's character. Because Jack Black's character was supposed to be like Ethan's assistant or something, which he was kind of removed from the story. John Krasinski's character like actually had a relationship with Amanda Woods. They were friends. They worked together. So I don't know why, like, that to me seems like a more fitting storyline. Maybe he would have been a better fit for Jack Black's character.
I don't know about that.
Anyway, so then Sophie and Olivia were played by Miffy Inglefield? Inglefeed? I'm not sure.
And yeah, Emma Pritchard.
Yep, and then Emma Pritchard. They were so cute.
They were very cute little like 3 and 4 year olds. I don't know how old they were, but absolutely adorable.
And then who was Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman played himself. He had a cameo in the blockbuster.
Yeah, I read that note as well in the Amazon Prime trivia, but I don't know who that is.
Yeah, just like a famous actor. When they pick up, he was in The Graduate, and when Jack Black mentions that, he says, "I can't go anywhere."
Mm-hmm.
kind of funny. I enjoyed that.
And then the voiceover trailer voice was Hal Douglas.
Yes.
I thought it was interesting that Amanda's character is the only one that has a narrator. I mean, it makes sense, I guess, since she does movie trailers, but also I thought it was interesting that she was the only character that had a narrator.
Yeah, so she's like the only one that we really get an inner monologue for, which I liked. And I love the way they did it with the trailer.
Yeah.
And the classic, Hal Douglas has such a classic in a world, you know, like I can hear his voice from a million different previews that I've seen, you know?
Yeah. I didn't even realize that the voice had a name associated.
Somebody's voice, Andy.
I mean, yeah, I know. I just never thought about it. But yeah, there's so many trailers. It seems like any kind of action movie has that guy's voiceover.
Yeah, they used to. They don't make trailers like that anymore. We never get the sort of voiceover. Now we just get like snippets of the movie.
Anyway, so that wraps up the cast. We already kind of talked about my first note about Home Exchange. So you're saying you would not do it if you were given the chance to do... Basically, you just had to pay for your flight there and back. You wouldn't do it.
No, I have too much stuff. I don't want somebody in here.
The only thing I would be hesitant about is like somebody driving my car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure, if it's somebody I knew who was a good driver.
Yeah, especially after what we see with Amanda when she's driving on the snow-covered road for the first time at night and then, like, drinks wine in the store and drives back, too? Jeez Louise.
Yeah. So, I mean, in theory, it's a cool idea, but maybe somewhere that has, like, Ubers available or easy transportation.
I'm not a fan. Not interested.
Yeah. So, one of my bigger topics that I wanted to touch on, and I kind of mentioned it, was Amanda and Graham's introduction, which I thought was very forward of Amanda, but also like the whole interaction where he's so drunk that he's stumbling to the door and doesn't realize like what's going on. And she's very forward, but she's also sober. And almost immediately she suggests that they should sleep together. And I was just the whole, like, scene, I was like, okay, if the roles were reversed, this would so not be well received.
No, probably not. But I think Amanda had been drinking a little bit, which is not to excuse anything, but I don't think she was stone cold sober.
Probably not, but she definitely wasn't at the same level he was. She was more cognizantly thinking or making decisions, I guess.
Yes. But she did, I mean, like, she asked for consent, so it wasn't... I guess to me, it felt funny and not overly pushy. But I will also say that for a character who allegedly stumbled back to his sister's house, like, Graham seemed very alert while he was sitting and talking to her.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's part of just the scene of how it was written, but people can't consent. That's the thing.
No.
But then later, a couple, I don't know how many scenes later, Graham says something to the extent of men don't have sex with unconscious women. So, like, I don't know. It was almost kind of a double standard, but then again, not, because, like, we saw that it was okay for her to be forward, but he knows it's not okay for him to be forward when the other person is drunk.
I feel like those are two different things. She was seducing him. He's saying, I'm not going to have sex with somebody who can't say anything.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it felt wrong.
Not a great situation. I just don't think that they are quite the same as the way that you are equating them now.
Yeah.
I didn't like that because she, like, opened the door when she was in a new country alone down the end of a road that was too snowy for a cab to allegedly go down.
Yeah.
Like, why are you opening the door in the middle of the night? Have you no self-preservation?
And obviously the dog is not going to protect you.
No. I like Charlie the dog.
Yeah.
That's something else. Like, she leaves Charlie alone expecting this stranger to show up and take care of her dog. That's something else I didn't like about this movie.
I mean, I'm sure it was probably discussed over email.
I don't know, man. I'm a little suspicious of that. I would not let just, like, anyone come watch Jose.
Well, he's also 100 years old, so.
I don't think I would not let like anyone. Maybe a cat, sure, but like a dog, no. And even a cat, I don't even think.
Yeah.
I would be too happy about that.
So I guess before we get like too far into the story, whole situation with Jasper and just how he's such a crappy character by not allowing Iris to move on. So selfish. Like, I know you're going on a vacation, but let me send you some work to do. Also, I thought she was a wedding announcement columnist in the newspaper.
Is that she was like a society columnist.
Okay. I guess I thought her focus was wedding specific, but maybe it's not.
No, it's like the gossip about town. But I think that he sent her, that wasn't work. That was like a favor he was asking from her.
Like a personal novel he was writing.
Yeah, which, like, again, so annoying. Like, I heard you're leaving. Like, how do I get in contact with you? You don't. You just don't, bud.
Yeah.
She's on vacay.
PTO.
He really does suck. And, like, showing up in California, like, first of all, how did he know where she was staying?
Well, he had sent the pages, so he had the address.
I thought he sent the pages earlier. Oh, no, but he didn't. You're right. Question though, how did he get inside the gate without her having to buzz him in?
And where is he telling his fiance he is while he's flying across the world?
So he's like having like that romantic dinner with her and cuddling on the couch, and then she had to ask about it. Yeah. Like, are you still with your fiance? And he actively avoided answering the question.
Yeah.
Shady. He sucks.
Shady.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah. But I'm glad that it was enough for her to be like, okay, this is really showing me firsthand how shady of a person you are. I am instantly not in love with you anymore.
Yeah, like, thank God it opened her eyes.
Yeah.
Winslet deserves better. And I liked her story a lot because I felt like it was a slow burn between her and Jack Black's character.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way that they like started off mostly as friends because she really wasn't looking for anything and he was in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they like sort of got closer later, and I really liked that storyline overall. So I'm like happy for her that she got away from Jasper and got with him.
Yeah, I liked that Iris's character was not focused on meeting somebody else, just was rather focused on enjoying the moment. And like, she had a lot of interaction with and like that relationship, so it wasn't just focused on, oh, I met this guy and now I need to like make him fall in love with me, which is kind of what Amanda's character did.
Yeah
she had a different agenda.
Yeah, I liked the friendship a lot too. Like having the Hanukkah dinner together and her getting him like the whole event from the Writers Guild. Like, I loved all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked her character a lot more.
Mm-hmm. You see your notes of like darker themes throughout, which we see from Iris's character mostly in the beginning, which I also missed. Like, again, I think this is another case of an early to mid 2000s movie that had themes in it that were overlooked at the time but now are like, oh, that's there.
she tried to commit suicide using her stove, her gas stove, and then she also said, I want to eat carbs without wanting to kill myself. And I was like, I always forget how much the 2000s really pushed all of that sort of disordered eating on us.
Yeah. I noticed that line too, like, oh wow.
Yeah, I'm like, let's stop saying that.
Yeah, but I'm glad that her character seemed to have the most growth throughout the movie.
Yeah, she seems very happy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they all do, but yeah, she seems very happy at the end.
Yeah, and my favorite quote was her saying, you have to be the leading lady in your own life.
Well, that's my question for you. Do you feel like you're a leading lady or a best friend?
I mean, I feel like I'm the leading lady of my life.
All right, good. Well, I'm just making sure. I don't know that I necessarily feel like a leading lady.
I mean, I take leading lady to mean, like, I'm going to make decisions that I feel like are best for me and then my immediate family. Not not based on like a best friend's preference.
Sure. Like, I think you're right about that. I'm glad you feel like a leading lady. One of my favorite lines from this is, Iris, if you were Melody while Jack Black is playing the piano for her. And then she says, he says, I only use the good notes. I thought that was just a really cute.
Yeah.
Really cute one.
Yeah, I liked that one too.
Mm-hmm. Also prefer Iris's arc over Amanda's arc, or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like that Amanda and Graham have kind of more of like the big happy family.
Yeah.
And I guess like it's nice that Amanda's character fits well into Graham and the girls' life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I liked Amanda's. I mean, I think I liked Iris's character best. I don't know that I like her and Miles's relationship as much as Amanda.
Yeah, and Graham. Actually, I think if I had to rank them, it would be Iris and Arthur, Iris and Miles, Amanda and Graham.
Yeah, Iris and Arthur all the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like such a fun relationship. They seem like they fit together well.
Yeah.
He got her to watch all the movies. Really opened her eyes on the whole world.
Yeah. And they both needed each other in one way or another. Yeah. Thing that Arthur brings up to Iris is the idea of a meet cute, and she's like, mm-hmm. Oh, what's a meet cute? And so he explains that it's a cinematic meeting of two characters that I guess that's maybe, I don't know if it's always, but do you think it's always like two characters who end up together or not always?
Most often two characters that end up together. It's like a surreptitious, like, oh, this happened to happen. Like, we ran into each other in Central Park. Oh, how cute was it that we both fell into the water fountain in like 101 Dalmatians, for example.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I like them, but I just don't know. Like, how often does it happen that you have a meet cute like that in real life?
Yeah, that's the note I put. I said it's sweet to see in movies, but it's so unrealistic, especially in today's time. Because, like, I feel like most of the time, people nowadays are so siloed into their routine that the opportunity to meet somebody that you wouldn't normally interact with is very, very slim. I don't know. I think for me, if I was single at this age and like wanting to meet somebody or hoping to meet somebody, there's not very many places that I go that I would have the opportunity to meet somebody at random unless it just happened to be at like the grocery store or a gas station.
Well, Amy, that's like the point of the meet cute, that it's at someplace like that.
I know. But like in the movies, like you said, it happens in like Central Park or at a coffee shop or like sometimes places that you wouldn't normally go, especially in today's time, I feel like. I don't know. It's just,
well, I think they're unrealistic, not because of that, because I think that the point of the meet cute is that it happens when you're like at Publix in your weekly shopping or whatever. I think it's unrealistic because a lot of people use online dating now. And so like that's the way that they're trying to meet somebody.
Yeah. Also, so, I don't want to talk to people at the grocery store.
Yeah, there's also that.
Yeah.
Which, like, might be partially from the pandemic and also just because of who we are as people.
I just have things to do. I want to get in and out of there.
Yeah, we got things. I don't have time for people.
Another place that I know a lot of people hope to run into somebody and have a meet cute is at the gym. But, like, when I used to go to the gym, I mean, obviously I wasn't hoping that that would happen because I was already married. But, mm-hmm. like, the idea of people being like, oh, maybe I'll run into somebody who also is working out or whatever. But most people, at least that I have heard from, their mentality when they go to the gym is, I want to get in and get out. Like, I don't want to sit around and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think a lot of times in today's time, people have too many things to do, so they don't have time for a meet cute. If, like, something that could be a meet cute at a grocery store, if you're, like, passing somebody in the aisles, somebody would just be like, all right, I got to keep going. I got things to do or places to be.
I don't know. Somebody spills their, like, drops a tomato can right in front of your cart, and then you make eyes as you both stand up. It could happen.
Yeah.
A lot of the whimsy in your life, Andy.
A lot of the meet cutes in movies, at least in high school theme, is when the girl drops all of her books and the popular boy picks up some of the books and hands them back to her and like stuff like that.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah. So unrealistic. Yeah. Either way. For whatever reason, meet cutes are cute in movies, but yeah, not gonna happen in real life very often.
All right, maybe not for you.
But I need them to happen for me.
Should we rate it?
Yeah, let me see if I have any other notes. No, not really. Yeah. Okay, what would you like the scale to be?
5.
Mr. Napkinheads.
Oh, that was a funny scene. I like that. yeah, the 5 Mr. Napkinheads. How many do you give it?
I'm going to say 4.2. This is just a feel-good Christmas time movie that's not, like, super cheesy.
Yeah. I give it, like a solid 4.0, maybe.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah, I agree. Worth a watch once a year.
Yes. Really gets you in the spirit.
Yeah.
Really makes you want to have a giant clawfoot tub. I'll tell you that, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's what, I put that on my Christmas list this year, that I asked if my mom would let me take a bath in her bathtub, because she's got that nice tub upstairs.
Oh, I thought you meant you put a clawfoot tub on your wish list.
No, God, no. There's no space for it. I just want to use my mother's existing tub. She won't let me. It happens, though.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So next week is, of course, our book, which is Today Will Be Different by Maria Semple. So make sure you've got your copy.
Yeah, I started the audiobook.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
TBD.
All right, okay.
I don't know. It's not bad, but it's also not great so far. As I said, TBD. Maybe it'll be different.
I mean, but, you know, also we were bound to get some stinkers in here. So if it's not great, I'm willing to accept it.
I mean, it's so gotta be. Oh, and then, okay, so then our next short story is going to be from the Southern Lady Code series by Helen Ellis. Have you picked the next one yet or not yet?
That's in like 3 weeks, Andy.
Okay, well.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram. Or send us an email at marianneandwandapodcast@gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.